Hey, everybody, Brian Murphy here, and you can make your money work harder for you with Provident Credit Union's Pick a Term Certificate. For a limited time, you can select a term of either 3, 6, or 9 months and earn an impressive 4.75% annual percentage yield, or earn 4.50% with a 12-month term. Yes, up to 4.75%. It's the perfect opportunity to achieve your short-term savings goals while enjoying a high dividend rate. With Provident's Pick a Term Certificate, you have the flexibility to choose the term that suits you best. So whatever you're saving for, Provident has you covered. Visit providentcu.org or swing by a branch for more details. And if you're in the Oakland area, there's a new location at Temescal Plaza. Don't wait. Secure your financial future today. This rate is effective as of March 26th, 2024. Minimum balance required of $10,000. Early withdrawal penalties may apply. Federally insured by the NCUA. For additional information, please visit providentcu.org.
All right, a pleasure to bring in Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, on this Sunday morning, how are you?
Doing well, Marty. There's fog on Montero Mountain for the 78th day in a row.
All right.
I like it. It's nice and calm, nice and cool out here.
Well, I love it. It's a great time of year, and look, the Pittsburgh Pirates come in, and you know, they can't win anywhere. They come in and look like the Pirates of the old lumber company, and it's a beautiful part of baseball, and the Giants have to pull it together today.
Yeah, the numbers aren't very good for the Pirates, but every time the Giants play them, including earlier this season, I mean, those guys, they've got some hitters. They can rake. You know, Reynolds and Frazier. And I can never remember the guy who hit the long ball out of there, the catcher.
Stallings.
Stallings, yeah.
And they got Charlie Hayes' kid at third.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very representative lineup. And you know, I was just the story was Gausman, though. I mean, he is struggling a little bit. He's admitted he's a little bit frustrated. He's lost a little bit of command on the splitter. Didn't throw it very often, which was the most telling thing. And he was hit hard. Just quite simply, they hit some ropes off him. So I guess he'll go Thursday against the Dodgers, and that'll be very telling.
Yeah, as Will was saying this morning, you know, there's so many analytics now, and there's so many cameras in the ballpark that they have this precise location of where your foot should be on your delivery, where your arm should be and all that. And that's what they're going to work with him on. It's the analytical part because apparently he's healthy.
Well, that's the most important thing. If the arm's sound, I mean, I'm sure he'll figure it out. He's a super bright guy, and he managed to come up with this arsenal that nobody can solve after years of just being kind of an average guy in the bigs. He's been around a long time. So, you know, he's the kind of guy, like a Scherzer or Wainwright, you know, you just figure he's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing, and I think he's going to figure it out.
So he gets racked around a little bit. DeSclafani, still strong. The guy today has won his last three, Alex Wood. Again, I know we ask this question almost every day, but Farhan's got to make some decisions here on this starting pitching. Cueto has just been so-so, and Webb is still sort of coming back from the shoulder. He may have to go out and get a pitcher, you know, after seeing Gausman last night.
Yeah, if the Dodgers, you know, if they push him around a little bit on Thursday, if they beat Gausman and they hit the balls hard and he doesn't have the command again, you know, it makes you wonder. I mean, you're going to need an ace to stay in this race, and you know they've got to keep pushing. I mean, you never know. This has been a magical year. You never know when those years come around. You know, everybody talks about next year with the Giants and get some money off the books and money to spend, and the prospects are a year older. But who knows? I mean, it'd be hard to think it'd be as magical as this year has gone. So this is a year that they need to do something with the first place standing they have and keep it going. And they'll need a solid rotation. So yeah, you're right, it's sort of day to day. I mean, 2 days ago you thought, yeah, they're all right, they need to make a trade. But then they see Gausman, you go, and then you wonder.
Yeah, well, this is going to be a great week of baseball. I'm sure you're going to write about it. You know, this whole trade deadline thing is a big deal because there will be some top names moving around. But it's a small group of people, and there's a lot of buyers out there, it looks like to me. No one's really ready to throw in the towel. So I think we're in for a good week.
No, it'll be really interesting. I mean, you see a lot of names, you know, bounce around. So we've seen Nelson Cruz go to Tampa Bay. That's very significant. You know, they're going to be in the wild card race with the A's, or at least they are right now. And all of a sudden, you're looking at Rosarena and Franco and Cruz. I mean, that's a low budget team that doesn't draw, but that's a damn good lineup, and they know how to play. And now they've got a big stud in the middle of the lineup.
Yaz is struggling for the first time. His last 16 at-bats, 10 strikeouts for him. And first time, really, I'm seeing him struggle.
Yeah, it's like, who can explain what happened in L.A.? And who can explain what's going on in this series? You know, it's sort of trite to say, well, that's baseball. But, I mean, Yaz, you know, everybody goes into a slump, you know, where they're just not seeing the ball. And you start thinking, I'm not seeing the ball. And you lose a little confidence. And next thing you know, you hit a little blooper that falls in, or a 90 hopper that sneaks through. And all of a sudden, you're back on track, and you go 8 for 10. I'm not worried about him, but he looks a little bit lost right now. But those things happen.
Well, I was thinking about the Pittsburgh franchise because, you know, they come in, and, of course, they're in a down period now. A few years ago, they were doing well, and Crawford knocked them out with that big grand slam. But the Pittsburgh Pirate franchise, Bruce, this is one of the cornerstones of the National League. And I think from the mid-50s right up until Barry Bonds left in 92, this was one of the storied franchises and successful as well. The Pirates are just looking at that uniform. Again, like the Cardinals, they bring a lot of tradition into the ballpark.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it goes way back in the early 1900s. The 1909 team won it all. I mean, Honus Wagner and Vic Willis and Howie Kamnitz on the mound. And I mean, you look at the Baseball Reference, the first names of the guys like Dot and Patty and Kid, Ham. That's how they list the names, you know, Lefty and very, very colorful teams. They came back in 1925. They beat a great Washington Senators team that had Walter Johnson. That went 7 with Pi Trainer and Kai Kyler, and so they go a long way back. And in 1960, they had the incredible 7-game series against the Yankees, and they beat Mantle and those guys. Clemente's 25 years old out there with Mazeroski and Dick Stewart, and then of course in 71, the Giants will Giants fans well remember steaming into that postseason, think, man, we're going all the way this year, and they get derailed by the Pirates and Bob Robertson of all
Bob
people.
Bob Robertson, wow.
But that team, that's one of my all-time favorite teams with Sanguin and Oliver Stargell, Clemente again, you know, Richie Hebner I loved. They had guys like Davalio and Stennett coming off the bench. I mean, they just were just a phenomenal hitting team. And in 79, I got a chance to personally witness their whole playoff run, beating the Reds and then into the World Series and being in Three Rivers Stadium at the We Are Family and just soaking up the mood of that of the fans and the team was great. It was a great World Series against the Orioles, unforgettable really. And but you're right, I mean, ever since for like a half a century, the Pirates come in and you just think that they're dangerous because they've had so many really good hitting teams and they haven't always prevailed to the end. But I like the team that put out there now. They're certainly not going to win anything, mm-hmm. but that you discover that, you know, this is they're a load.
Yeah, I like the way they play. Boy, a good review of the Pirates. I'm thinking 79, boy, and, of course, Chuck Tanner, know, as happy as could be. And then you got Danny Murtaugh, the old Irishman, as a manager in 1960. And then they bring him back after firing Harry the Hat Walker. And, you know, Harry the Hat Walker makes Matty Alou a batting champion and, You got Clemente. Who's the – I get this phrase, the face of the franchise is always so silly anyway, but Clemente, Stargell, I guess those would be the two faces of the franchise.
Yeah, I would give a little nod to Clemente because he was there in 1960 and in 71, and one of my favorite stats, I'm sure I mentioned this on the air before, but those were both 7-game series, and Clemente played 14 World Series games, and he hit safely in every one of them. That's a hell of a stat. Yeah,
they should retire his number. It should be retired. it should be retired for all of baseball.
Oh yeah, retired worldwide.
yeah, and that I think that's coming as well. I was thinking a little bit more about the Guardians yesterday.
What are they guarding? Did they find anything?
No, not yet. It's the traffic going over that bridge. But it sounded more like an insurance company to me today.
I think it turns out they're guarding the Boncourt Hotel, and that's about it.
You know, I would think after a year and 1,200 entries that they could have come up with something just a little bit more colorful for the city. You know, there's so many animals that haven't been, you know, been named as nicknames yet. I don't know. It just seems like they sort of went to Guardians. We'll see how long this lasts. But it brings me to this question. You think we'll ever see the Braves do anything, or is it just the state of Georgia? They wouldn't put up with it.
No, well, they still do the tomahawk chalk there, which is just amazing to me that that's still going on. They're still chanting and singing, and they're waving their tomahawks, and just for God's sake. I mean, that's Georgia. They'll be the last to know that it's not cool. But I don't know. I mean, the Braves, it's sort of like it's one of those names that you're so used to going back to the Boston Braves. You know, for me, the Milwaukee Braves, Bushville Winds and all that, and now Atlanta. But it's like the Indians. You know that it's inherently wrong and needs to be changed, but it's a little bit jarring when it happens. And I don't know what name would they would turn to. I don't think it would be the Crackers.
No, I don't think so. You got two liberals starting to talk of politics. It's not good for radio. Not good for radio.
No.
We'll see. We'll see where it goes with that. But it's kind of fun to talk about it. Hey, this series, I hope you're going to write this week about Giants Dodgers, Bruce, because this one coming off the four down there, and now, as you said yesterday, all the pitching is matched up. This is going to be some week.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to write a live column off the games. I mean, people around the Bay Area, they get their papers. They don't have a Giant score in there. Our deadlines are really severe, and it's very hard to get a column about a game you just saw a few hours before. You know, you can find it online for sure. So it's certainly not the same when we had till 11 o'clock to file a column, and you could actually think about it for a couple of minutes before you write it. So we're not getting a whole lot of live columns out of the A's or the Giants, and that's a shame. But I mean, I'll be writing about it in some context. But yeah, this is a big, very big series, and you know the Dodgers. Geez, last night they had everybody that you associate that team with seemed like they were all out of the lineup, and they only got one run and they win 1-0, and Kenley Jansen gets the save. So you know things change so fast, and who could possibly know what's going to happen in that series?
Boy, it's going to be something. This is good baseball this week. Well, you did write a little bit about the A's situation with the stadium. You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I just don't think they're going anywhere. I mean, if they get Howard Terminal, great. That would be fantastic. But you have to mention that, with the environmental report and, they're going to hit all sorts of obstacles before they actually break ground on the thing. And we could be looking at seven more years of that incredible desolation at the Coliseum. But they're not going to Vegas, Marty. I mean, it doesn't make any sense for them to go there. They'd be subject to endless ridicule for leaving a big market, leaving a diverse market, playing with that thriving urban metropolis of Henderson, Nevada. It's just comically bad in every respect. And Major League Baseball, whatever the two best cities are out there for a team to play in, Montreal, Nashville, Portland, Vegas, baseball's going to take those two for expansion. So I guess Vegas would kind of be in the lead there for whatever that's worth. For just so many reasons, I can't see them actually leaving Oakland. I mean, your name would be mud forever just around not just the Bay Area. It would just seem like such a ridiculous thing. For the Raiders, it makes some weird kind of sense. But for a baseball team to play every day in 116 degree heat and maybe be the fourth most popular franchise in town, I don't get it. And Dave Cavill's down there every Tuesday. I mean,
really?
What the hell? Yeah.
Yeah. You just whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, I guess.
Well, I think they'll come to an agreement on what they voted on last week. And my point of my column was that don't give the A's any concessions. You didn't like what you presented them, but you did. You came up with something where they basically approved Howard Terminal. Don't give them any concessions. Make them scrap a little bit and finally cave in and get the thing done.
Boy, what a story. What a story.
Yeah.
But here we go again. Hey, the A's are up by 2.5 on Seattle, 3.5 on the Yankees. And I had always conceded the A's to be a playoff team. They're in a little bit of a race here.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think Houston's going to leave them behind. I think that's going to be a tough hang to actually win that division. Houston, they just never stop hitting. And, Dusty's got it going. They got pitching's getting a little better. And the A's, they just have too many kind of discouraging losses. Of course, last night they wild pitched walk-off. That's about as embarrassing as it gets. But at the same time, they're not going away either. I mean, see, Bob Melvin's too good. They got too many good players. But Tampa Bay will be in there. The Yanks, Seattle, it's going to be terrific.
Yeah.
We'll see what they, they can be pretty active if they want to be at the deadline and pick up somebody that can help them.
Well, they do. When they're in it, they generally go out and make a splash and do something. So I'm very interested to see how Farhan approaches this. This is his first big moment as the Giants president, whatever you want to call him, head of baseball operations. This is his moment. And I always say the players handle the games, but then all of a sudden for that 1 week of the year, the spotlight goes on to the front office.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his moment to make his mark and to come up with reasons why he's doing what he's doing. And it's going to be very defining, I think, this week to see what he does.
Yeah, well, he works so damn hard on things to get things done, and they're like an assembly line of transactions every day. You can't wait to see what they did, even if it's just this guy up and this guy down. But he's not going to be idle. He's going to look at every possible move that he might make, and you know how it is after the trade deadline. You hear about deals that weren't made. And if there's a deal that comes up and they don't make it, and in retrospect, geez, they really should have done that. That'll be tough, but he's going good right now. It's going to take a lot for him for the perception of him to drop, because he's done too many good things. He's been extremely, extremely good hire for the Giants, and he and Kapler have a great thing going. So we'll see. I think they'll do something. I don't know if it'll be big, but I think they'll do something.
Well, we'll see how he approaches it, because this defines him as a general manager, so to speak. Scott Harris is the one, but Farhan really makes the decisions, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So this defines him, for Billy Bean and Buzzy Bavese and, whoever else you want, Al Rosen, whoever else you want to say, this defines him as to how he approaches a team that will be in the playoffs and what he does with it. So I think it's a big week for him. I really do.
I wouldn't say they're necessarily in the playoffs. It certainly looks like it. I mean, they've got the best record in the game, so it's going to take a bit of a slide. But I think to assume that they're in is a little dangerous, also.
Well, they got an 11-game lead on Cincinnati, and
that's pretty formidable.
Yeah, I don't see Cincinnati going 45-15, and the Giants going 15-45. I don't think that's happening. Hey, a couple of good historical notes today. 1955. I couldn't believe this when I looked at it, Bruce. Hall of Fame induction of Joe DiMaggio, his fourth year on the ballot. Can you imagine if that happened today? They would take everyone's ballot away.
Yeah, I mean, those were strange times. In 1950, some of the names that were up that year for election were Mel Ott, Jimmy Fox, Bill Terry, Paul Wehner, Al Simmons, Dizzy Dean. They inducted nobody.
Yeah.
How about that?
Really?
In 1953, they elected Dizzy Dean and Al Simmons, and yet no DiMaggio. In 1954, they put Rabbit Marinville in there, who's like really more of a single season story and a longevity guy. And DiMaggio, no. And Hank Greenberg, he failed like many times to get in. There was just I think in DiMaggio's case, what I read was they didn't have the 5-year rule right away, and people thought it was a little too soon to put him in. And then they finally did put that rule in, but they made an exception for him. He got in 55 because they actually said, "Well, we're going to put it in, but Joe, you're okay. You've only hit 4 years, but you've waited long enough." They actually went out of their way to do it. But the bottom line is, whenever his name appears on the ballot, he's in. Okay, that's the bottom line. No waiting for any of these guys I mentioned.
No, well, they had such a backlog in those days.
Yeah,
and the writers were tough. They were tough, and we didn't have the scrutiny that we have today. You couldn't do this kind of stuff today.
Boy, no way. No, I like tough. You know, tough is good, but then there's like too tough.
Yeah. No, you'd have Brian Kenny, 24/7 talking about Hank Greenberg. You know,
yeah.
How could you keep him out? Look at his war. Look at what's going on here. All right.
Look what he did in the war.
Right. That's why he was a big hero, Hank Greenberg.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, he got out. He was in the Army, and mm-hmm. he got out. And Pearl Harbor happened like 5 days later, and he went back in.
And the numbers that he has, how can he not go in right away? I mean, instantly. He waited at least seven times.
Different
seven
world.
7 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Different world. 1977, Pete Rose, 2,881st career hit, and it's the most for a switch hitter, and he surpasses the name that we love to say in the show, not Solly Hemus, but Frankie Frisch. How about that?
Frankie Frisch. It's really cool, because those guys, as you read up on Frankie Frisch, they had a lot in common. Frankie Frisch was a halfback at Fordham. They called him the Fordham Flash, and head first slides and stolen bases. A huge personality. He got along with John McGraw, but then he didn't because they're both such big personalities. But he was a 300 hitter, full on aggressive guy. He was actually managed. He managed the Gas House Gang when he was 35. He's got guys like Pepper Martin and DeRosier and Dizzy Dean. You imagine trying to handle that clubhouse, but they were a great. They won the whole thing. But what I love about him, he went to the Giants traded him to the Cardinals, but he went to four World Series with the Giants and four more with the Cardinals. That's not a coincidence. And Pete Rose had the same thing in a way with the Reds. He was a fixture in the postseason and got the two World Series with the Phillies. So guys like that are gonna really help you. Just all out guys. I always pictured the mythical Hall of Fame banquet where you walk into the room and you see these guys and Frankie Frisch and Pete Rose. You don't even need to know what they did. Well, of course, I'm not so sure you feel that way about Rafael Palmeiro or Harold Baines.
Oh, that's great. Frankie Frisch is traded for Rogers Hornsby. How about that?
Oh my goodness!
That's how he got to the Cardinals.
That's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the quote he has, and it's my favorite quote. And of course, he was a New Yorker, Fordham Flash.
Yeah.
And he would say, "Them bases on balls."
And
they're saying it today. They're still saying it. When I see these relievers come in and they've got the lead and they walk the first guy, I think of Frankie Frisch, "Them bases on balls."
And that's one of the great, great criminal activities in the game is to walk the leadoff guy with a big lead. So just hand him a rally. They don't have to do anything. Just here, you could just take it and maybe another walk. What the hell?
Well, we'll see what happens today. Giants striking out a lot. 26 strikeouts, 5 walks in this series, and they've been about 40% of their strikeouts have been walks, and that's an outstanding number. But they're down under 20% in this series, and that explains a little bit of what's going on. Boy, what a week coming up. This is going to be a good week, Bruce. We got the Dodgers. We got the trade deadline. We've got Houston coming in, Dusty coming back.
Oh,
good
my.
Week of baseball. Good week of baseball.
Yeah,
yeah. I look forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah, yeah. Houston, too. That's going to be really, really interesting. That club is they've shrugged off an awful lot of stuff coming their way, and they just refuse to be ordinary. So really, really good stuff coming up.
They also
refuse next week.
Yeah, they also refuse to go to the All-Star game.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a whole other story.
Really. All right. Be well, and I'll talk to you next
week. Yeah,
you
too, Marty. Thanks a lot.
All right. That is the great Bruce Jenkins on Sunday morning. Always a pleasure. Next coming up, it's a great book, Baseball's Who's Who of What Ifs. Players Derailed en route to Cooperstown. Bill Dean wrote it. And it's really interesting. And he gives about 5 or 6 examples when we talk with him. And just think about the ages of these careers that were cut short and what they accomplished before this career was cut short. And Orlando Cepeda is in this group as well for what he did before that knee injury. And it's a fascinating comparison. So Bill Dean is next. Baseball's who's who of what ifs. Kerry, Bill, and I'll be back. We've got so much more on the pregame. Giants, Pirates, as the Giants try to avoid the sweep at the hands of the Pittsburgh Pirates. More coming up. KMBR 680, 1045, the sports leader.
Hey, everybody. Brian Murphy here. And you can make your money work harder for you with Provident Credit Union's Pick a Term Certificate. For a limited time, you can select a term of either 3, 6, or 9 months and earn an impressive 4.75% annual percentage yield, or earn 4.50% with a 12-month term. Yes, up to 4.75%. It's the perfect opportunity to achieve your short-term savings goals while enjoying a high dividend rate. With Provident's Pick a Term Certificate, you have the flexibility to choose the term that suits you best. So whatever you're saving for, Provident has you covered. Visit providentcu.org or swing by a branch for more details. And if you're in the Oakland area, there's a new location at Temescal Plaza. Don't wait. Secure your financial future today. This rate is effective as of March 26th, 2024. Minimum balance required of $10,000. Early withdrawal penalties may apply. Federally insured by the NCUA. For additional information, please visit providentcu.org.